You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. In his memoir, Paper Sons, award-winning author Dixon Lam takes readers to the North Beach projects of San Francisco, where he grew up during the early 90s. Dixon's story follows his transformation from a teenage graffiti tagger to a high school teacher. During the writing process, he confronts the abuse that took place in his home at the hands of his estranged father. KALW's Janae Darden sat down with Dixon to go deeper.
I grew up in the North Beach Projects, so it's a kind of weird place because it's like literally the cable car runs right through it. So when I say, oh, I grew up in the Projects, they say, where? And I just start describing it. It didn't sound like the Projects. It's a very sort of unique place, but it's actually gone. So they have torn it down and they have built something new, and it's not quite the same thing. So as part of the complex now, they have a Starbucks, there's a Trader Joe's. So it has a whole different feel to the way it used to be.
Because it was right across the street from Fisherman's Wharf, right?
Yeah, it was literally across the street. It's sort of like the right on the border.
Black culture, it was a huge influence in your life. Mm-hmm. Boys in the Hood, you talked about reading Malcolm X, and I remember when Malcolm X movie came out starring mm-hmm. Denzel Washington. There's a lot of black culture in this book.
Yeah, you know, for most of my childhood, like I grew up in the projects, but my mom kept me very sheltered. She didn't let me play outside. You know, she's very, I mean, you know, you read the book. My mom is like very, she doesn't like me to get sort of dirty, right? She would never take us to the park. She didn't want to worry about sand coming home. And so although I grew up in the projects, I never hung out with the kids in the projects, right? Until one day I end up sort of playing basketball with a few of the kids, and then that kind of grew into these deep relationships. During the projects, you feel like you're this sort of community. Everyone feels, it's a pretty tight-knit community. So for me, it was really like in terms of like what you're talking about in terms of black culture, it was really through like these people, my friends' parents, that I started to feel this connection to black culture. And before that, the only sort of models of culture I was sort of given in the mainstream was like white culture or at home, my Chinese culture. But black culture was this sort of third sort of alternative for me that I was being shown that was very different, where I felt like, oh wait, there are some similarities here between black culture and my own Chinese culture. And I don't have to sort of choose between being white or Chinese, but there's this other idea. And black culture for me helped me develop a sense of pride in who I was.
Was graffiti an escape for you with all that was going on in your life?
Yeah,
what drew you to graffiti?
Yeah, graffiti for me was like definitely an escape. It just gave me an identity. Before that, you know, I felt like sort of a teenager with no identity, right? But doing graffiti, it made me a member of this community that was very sort of unique and sort of special in the sense that it was, you know, a small group of people, but all around the city, and it introduced me to people just like any sort of thing you would learn, whether you sew or you collect stamps or whatever. There's usually a conference for that, and that's you network with people across the country, and that's how graffiti was. I picked up this pen, this marker, and all of a sudden I was part of this community, and I could meet somebody on a bus, and next thing you know, just through that practice, all of a sudden they could be my best friend for a couple of months. We could hang out like we were best friends. And nothing as a teenager allowed me to connect with another teenager in the same way as graffiti did.
I think one thing in hip hop, you know, that a lot of artists talk about is trauma. Mm-hmm. And so trauma is definitely a huge theme in this book. And I know that's related to The Secret. Mm-hmm. And one of the major secrets in this book was that your father mm-hmm. sexually abused your sister. Mm-hmm. When you approached her about including this in the book, what was her reaction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's kind of unusual because when I read books about this sort of topic, about sexual abuse, it's usually written from a perspective of the person who was victimized, you know, directly. And so when I was writing this book, I wasn't sure. I was very conflicted about whether or not I should write it, like sort of morally, like what right do I have to tell my sister's story? But one thing I realized as I was writing it is that even though my father did this to my sister, I'm also affected, not just sort of as a witness, but because this is also my father, he's also violated me in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. So with my sister, I was very uncomfortable talking to my sister about it. because we could never really talk about this topic. That's why I wrote the book, is because I didn't feel comfortable talking to her about it, because here she is trying to sort of move on from this and trying to sort of ignore it and not think about it. And I didn't want to go to her asking her a lot of questions about it. So my plan wasn't a good plan, but my plan was to write this masterpiece and then show it to her, and she would be so blown away by my writing that she would say, yes, you have permission. It didn't really work out that way, because after a couple years, what I had was really horrible.
Okay.
Because she never gave me permission. So there was a lot of sort of psychological blocks I had, was even right touching that topic. So when I realized that, I told her what I was doing, and she gave me the green light, and she said, you know, if this can help someone else, you know, you should write about it. This is your story too. So I wrote about it. But I think that sometimes when people give you permission, it's different than when you're working on it on just your laptop versus when it's actually going to be published. Then it's actually a real thing. So when the book was actually going to be published, it brought up a lot of issues for her, and we sort of talked again about it. But I think she got to a place when the book was published where she was ready for it. She lives in a different state, but she flew out here for my book launch. She was there in my book launch. And it was the first time where she had heard someone sort of name this abuse in front of, you know, a large group. And she's sitting there, and she told me that once I named it and I said this actually had happened, that she felt like in some ways she had more power over it because it was named, it was said, and she was still there. A lot of people have come up and told me that they're really happy that I wrote it, because there are things that happened in my story, in my life, that's happened in their story, and they've never had a chance to have that sort of validated. Because like you said, it's like, well, we don't talk about that. You know, it's as if, you know, these issues of domestic violence, sexual abuse, it doesn't happen in our community. And this is part of why I wanted to write it. I wanted people to be able to have those conversations, or I wanted to validate people's experience. Because it's a big problem that we're sort of socialized to believe that these things don't happen in our community. Oh, that happens somewhere else.
What made you decide to be a writer as far as a literary writer?
As I was going through with more stuff with my family and I learned the things that happened between my father and my sister, I got to a point where I was teaching where it was really hard for me to focus on my students and sort of give the attention and love to my students, because I didn't have it in me, because I hadn't sorted out my own issues in my family. So that led me to feel like, well, I need to write my own stories to try to get some of this stuff out, because I just feel drained as a teacher. I have nothing to give. So that's what led me to write. But I think sort of subconsciously, I think I've always had a desire to sort of express myself. I think before it was through tagging. And I think, you know, writers of color, we can all sort of relate to this. You don't see yourself reflected in the world. So you always have this drive to sort of express yourself, to try to create stories that you, which she could read on, as well. Now, I had never read characters like mine, whether on TV or in books, and that's what made me want to write, was to write about my own story, because although when I'm writing it, on the one hand, it feels unique, at the same time, I have people tell me all the time that, like, oh, that's very similar to my story. I can relate to this part. You know, no one has the same exact life as you, but there are parts of it that a lot of people can relate to.
That was author Dixon Lam talking with KALW's Janae Darden. You can hear Dixon speak this Saturday at the Bay Area Book Festival in Berkeley. You can find the details at kalw.org. And while you're there, make sure you're subscribed to the Cross Currents newsletter.